Are you tired of missing day two at a GP by only one match? Are you tired of missing top eight on tiebreakers? Yeah, so are we. And that's why we're the B team. I'm not perfect, I'm just who I am. Is that okay? Perfect's overdone and overplanned. In the modern age, still you say you know what's best. I disagree, but hello and welcome to another episode of From the Bench. This is episode 17. As always, I am your host, Alex Mangone. Joined with me are my co-hosts,
Joe,
Chris.
All right, so it's been about, 2 weeks since our last episode, and quite a bit has happened. First of all, we have expanded. The B team has expanded. Sadly, neither our new member nor his brother could make it on tonight to introduce themselves. But I would love to welcome Mr. Alan Cummings to the B team. If you don't know, this is John's brother. So,
do you think they're testing for the Pro Tour?
Probably.
Yeah, probably.
I don't know what else they'd be doing.
Yeah, that's all they do these days. Just. That's for the Pro Tour.
Yep, all that cubing that they do.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Mark Cubing.
So I guess we now have, the Atlanta division of the B team?
The chapter? I suspect John is going to move back to Atlanta once he gets his PhD.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we'll have the Atlanta division, chapter. The Knoxville division. Yeah, I see no problem with this.
Very true.
Taking the B team worldwide.
Yeah, we need to expand so we have places to stay when we travel.
This is very true.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, SEG does make a lot of stops to Atlanta.
Yeah, Charlotte division and a Columbus division, and we're kind of set.
Yeah. So anyone in Columbus, if you'd like to submit your application to become a member of the B team, you can email us at thebteamweare@gmail.com.
And I do check that email every other day.
It's now sent to my phone, so I get the updates in real time. So at least know about your email.
You can get a nice hoodie, too. You have to pay for it, but...
Yes, you get access to buy a hoodie. We won't tell you the secret design.
Don't tell them all that now, or they're not going to apply. Anyway, congratulations, Alan.
Yep, we're happy to have you aboard.
Can I throw one thing out there?
Sure.
I would like to point out that I nominated Alan, not his brother.
Yeah, you did. So that's a little awkward.
Just wanted to make sure he knew all the facts.
It is on record. It is now on record. So we've had some really interesting updates, or at least I found them interesting, to the Star City tour. One, of course, we have a brand new standard format with the bannings that occurred that we talked about in the last episode. But they also announced that for opens this year in 2017, they're offering infinite challenge badges. Sounds to me like they're trying to mimic even more to be like GPs. But my only concern is that I don't know if the numbers are going to support it. What do you guys think?
I think the numbers will support it. I think the Infinite Challenge Badge, and I could be very wrong, I think the Infinite Challenge Badge at Grand Prix is probably one of the more lucrative options for them.
Oh, yeah.
Because let's face it, most of the people that get the Infinite Challenge Badges are, I don't know how to put this, they're B-team material. yeah. So, I mean, I bought the Infinite Challenge Badge. I jumped in 3 or 4 events. Yep. If I would not have bought it, I would have just played one event. So they got double their money out of me.
Yeah.
Instead of $20, they got $40. And, you know, whatever. That's kind of what they're shooting for. And for the whole weekend, they get $100. Well, typically, they're probably maybe going to get 60 or 80. So it just, you know, it's a way to get a little bit more money and give the players a feel-good.
Yeah, very much. Yeah, they're really good value. If you're really just doing that the whole day, you really do recoup the money you put in for the Infinite Challenge Badge.
Yeah.
And when you...
I mean, I bought the 3-day at Charlotte and
yeah.
played in the main event on day 2. but it was still a value, I thought, to get the 3-day, because when the main event was over for me in about round 7, I was able to jump into another challenge. It was like, eh, whatever. So, it's a value.
For sure. And I'm pretty sure you get whatever the playmat for the open is, like whatever format it is. And yeah. I have to say, they have some really sweet playmats for season 1. What is it? Gamble for Legacy. What's the modern one? Does anyone know?
It's like a... I think it's a... I don't know.
Oh, it's Aethervial, the masterpiece artwork for Aethervial. Yep. And I think the best one is in Standard. Have you guys seen the Standard playmat?
Unfortunately.
It's Smuggler's Copter, which unfortunately just got banned.
I have a question. Does that mean Smuggler Copter is still in Standard?
No, but you can have a playmat depicting a banned Standard card as you play Standard for your reward for playing Standard. So
that would be interesting.
Yeah. I bring this up because I was watching the Columbus Open this past weekend.
Oh, yeah. I watched that too.
And throughout the entire broadcast, of course, they're plugging the open or the SCG tour and all the different stops, and they bring up the playmats like in every one of their little like commercials. And every time they put Smuggler's Copter up on the screen, Patrick Sullivan just loses it. Like, he just breaks down in laughter. We have a link for you in the show notes for the first time they do it. And just, I warn you, please turn your volume down. It gets a little loud, but it is well worth the watch if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, I've seen it. I don't know if it was the first time or not, but...
Yeah, he proceeded to just break down in laughter every time they did it for the entire 2-day event. It was wonderful. So yeah, go play Standard, pick up your awesome Smuggler's Copter playmat.
Yeah, I will.
I mean, it's a nice playmat.
It is a very nice playmat. So, news from the other coast. Channel Fireball.
There's another coast?
There is another coast. So, you know, we have Star City here on the East Coast for us, and the West Coast has all the Channel Fireball events. Speaking of which, Channel Fireball has been pushing Frontier extremely hard. Now that they've announced support for it at their Grand Prix. I think last week, every day, Ifro's deck of the day was a Frontier deck, and it's continued this week. We're recording on a Monday, and the article for today was another Frontier deck. So they are really, really pushing this really hard.
I mean, Frontier gives them the option to take a lot of cards that they can't sell otherwise and make them valuable.
Oh, yeah. I'm just happy that a major Magic store has picked up Frontier. Like, they're starting to support it.
Yeah, no, I think Frontier is a... Let me rephrase. I think Frontier can be a fun format.
Yeah.
I think. I've not actually played it.
Mm-hmm. I played it a little bit. It's all right. It'll be fun.
Yeah. I'd like to play in an event. I've been looking at either, like, the Mono Red deck or one of the, like, 3-4 color mid-range decks. I haven't quite decided on what spectrum of the field I want to be on.
I know they have, like, one of the local stores has, like, a Frontier day on, like, Thursday or something like that.
Yeah.
Really?
It's been slowly picking up around Knoxville. I hope it sort of catches on a little bit more. Give me a place to play.
So, I think Frontier is the format I would actually play a control deck in.
Yeah, I mean, you get Dig Through Time and Cure Hulks. What more could you want?
Treasure Cruise. I would also want Treasure Cruise.
You can have it. It's yours.
Oh, good.
Oh, and you can play Jace, because you need a way to flashback your Treasure Cruise, because, you know, Torrential Gear Hulk won't. It only gets Dig Through Time.
Oh.
So you have Jace in your deck, so you can flashback the Treasure Cruise.
Why does it not get Treasure Cruise?
Because Gear Hulk is only instance.
Yep, sorry.
And they haven't given us Snapcaster Mage again, so. Joe, are you watching?
yours for free! For all you standard players out there, it's so good. Get on yep. So good. Yeah, that's the first
I'm looking at the Smuggler's Copter.
If anyone has,
I can hear it through your mic, Joe.
Oh, sorry. I was wondering why you were laughing too.
Yeah. one thing that was also announced is that with the release of Aether Revolt, there is a new pile shuffle rule that makes my heart so, so happy. Now you may only pile shuffle once per game and only at the beginning of each game.
What do you mean new? That came out like months ago.
No. Months ago was you may only pile shuffle once per randomization.
Okay.
Like, so when they came out with the new pile shuffle rule, they were like, hey, you can only do it once.
Let's call it pile counting because it's not shuffle.
Sorry. My apologies. That is truly my fault. Every time you pile count, you can only do it once per randomization. Because, you know, some people would do it more than once. And if you're one of those people, shame.
Yeah. I personally like to do it twice because I can't count half the time. I'm always like 64 cards. But no, I understand the rule. It's for those Dirty Miracles players.
Yeah.
If you've never played against Miracles, when Miracles cracks a fetch land, they're obligated to pile count.
So that's why I went to time in the GP.
It's the only thing I can think of. it's the only thing that can make that deck slower.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm building that deck.
Well, we're going to make sure that you are a well-tuned, oiled Miracle playing machine before you ever take that to a tournament.
Nope, I'm going to go for the perfect 009 record.
Ooh.
And, that's an achievement.
Let's be honest with you, Joe.
You're going to take Miracles, and then you're going to audible to Belcher's last minute.
No. Okay.
That's only if he leaves it to a group vote.
What? It's Charles' fault. Anyway, let's get back on topic, guys.
So, yeah, you can only pile shuffle once now. Thank the good Lord that this is now the law of the land. So I've been on Twitter lately, and with all the announcements for like Moto Next is supposed to be coming out this year, for a little bit there was a big sort of like almost a panic level freaking out that people's Moto collections are just going to become worthless overnight with the release of Moto Next, because they're kind of hinting that the new Moto client will be closer to Hearthstone or Eternal, where, you know, you can't buy individual cards, you have to like craft them and stuff, and so all of a sudden, you know, your $2,000-$3,000 collection on Moto is just now worth nothing. Like, I'm sure you'll be able to keep all the cards and stuff, but some of the stores were freaking out too. Do you think this is going to be, you know, the future of Moto?
This is going to kill Magic, Alex.
Is it?
This is what's going
to
kill it.
This, above all other things, this is going to be the one.
Look, I've been playing Moto. I don't know if anybody out there is older than me and played longer than me. If you played Moto when it first came out, you would like scan. Okay, I don't know how to, like, it wasn't just the list. Like, you didn't just see list of players waiting for games. There were like fake tables with people sitting at them, and you clicked and it would say like type 2 or type 1, or I guess type 1 wasn't a thing, like type 2, or there were big tables that said draft, and you clicked on them to join. Mm-hmm. Like, that is how the game worked. And then it changed. I've been playing Moto, oh my gosh, over 10 years, 12 years?
Why?
13 years, wow. 14 years. I've been playing Moto since whenever it came out. Which allowed me to get a lot of dazes, which turned out to be really good a few months back. anyway, not the point. There is no reason Black Lotus on paper is worth $10,000 other than its rarity.
Yeah.
Why is it worth $80 on Moto? There's nothing preventing Wizards from just blowing it out or making a subscription-based program. And look, My Moto collection, I'm going to look it up and tell you what it's worth, is worth some amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that it's probably going to become subscription. If it becomes crafting a card and break down a common and get some stuff to make a rare, screw that. That's stupid. Like, I don't. If I wanted to play freaking Hearthstone, I'd play Hearthstone.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, just let me buy the dang card.
That's not playing Hearthstone, though. That's just having.
It's not playing Magic either. Don't make it part of my game.
I mean, I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, you're a millennial, Chris. You're such a millennial. No, I mean,
Joe, you're also a millennial.
I am not.
By age, you are. You're one of us, count. Joe.
So my Moto collection is... since I looked last time, it's down $200.
Ooh.
Probably due in part to what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, that happens. That's part of the risk of owning anything that has a market value.
Yeah.
So... I don't think it'll matter a whole lot. You'll have people super invested, especially the digital stores that are going to have to move product, which is probably the reason my collection is now down $200. Mm-hmm. And granted, it was only worth $600 the other day. Now it's worth $450. So you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whatever. It happens.
Mm-hmm.
I own General Electric and it lost 5% today. So. Not I'm not real long. Worried about it. I think you'll get more people in, but I will tell you, if it's craft cards and all that horse crap, I'm not doing it.
It's not that bad.
I'll play Cockatrice.
You and like, a lot I'm of serious. Other people.
Yeah, I ain't doing that crap.
I wouldn't mind
crafting. I don't have time to grind out 20 hours of games to get one playable mythic rare. I don't.
You could also just spend a lot of money.
Do yeah. what?
You could also just spend a lot of money.
Well, I'm fine with it. Yeah. You just spend money.
Yeah, you can... No. So the alternative is that you can always just spend money on the game. So instead of buying, like, tickets or whatever, you can just get... You just buy packs and then convert those packs into the crafting currency. That's pretty much how a lot of people will get around it.
How do I liquidate the cards that I had to pay for?
You don't?
Nope, I ain't doing it.
Unless you can, you know, redeem some of the sets if you have some earlier cards, I guess. That's the only real way I can think of. But yeah, if this hits and that's the model that they're going with, like your collection goes from $400 to zero, like overnight.
That's okay. I'm okay knowing that.
Yeah.
I'm not okay with something that I can dump money into but never get it out.
Yeah.
So... I honestly think Digital Next, or Moto Next, whatever they're calling it now, is going to be different than Moto.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, originally, the presser was to get people from Magic Duels to Magic Online.
Right.
Because their conversion rate there is very poor. Magic Online has much higher profit margins. People spend more money. They spend longer on the client. On average, there are more people that use Duels because you can download it for free. So then you can spend, like I did, like $6 and upgrade. You can spend, I think, up to 30-ish for 3 months on there, like to buy the full set or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, you need to get people into something where they have to pay you $12 every 2 hours to draft again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you just make more money. But if you turn it into subscription, and we've talked about this before, if you turn it into subscription, I don't think you can do limited events unless they're all phantom events. But right. Then there's very little to incentivize people to pay you that $12, $14 every 2 hours.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Which is why I think going to a Hearthstone kind of thing, like you can still do drafts and still keep your cards. Like
that is true.
That's one thing that's like,
but that's
kind of lame about Hearthstone is that you don't get to keep your cards. How
much are the drafts on there?
150 gold and then like $1.99.
Yeah, that's
so they're $2.
Yeah.
So how long does a draft take to start to complete?
They're set up like draft leagues are now, so you can
2 hours.
Yeah, but it's all stop go, so you can complete your draft stop.
Yeah. But if you were just grinding through them, would it take about 2 hours?
Roughly, I would say so.
So you're down to $1 an hour, and on Moto you're at $6 to $7 an hour?
Yeah.
I see no reason that Wizards would incentivize that behavior in their customers. Give us six times
less
money.
But you're
not
keeping the cards in Hearthstone. You can charge more in Magic in order to keep the cards. What I would be interested in...
Why would you keep the cards if you pay a subscription and have access to all of them?
But no, this is for the
cards. The cards have a value.
Right. This is for the Hearthstone model. This is how the Hearthstone model works. Like, so, for example, in Eternal, which is Direwolf Digital's new card game.
I have it on my computer.
Yeah, it's really good. A lot of fun. You should try it out. Every time you draft, you keep everything you draft. And drafts are, I think, $3 or $4, and they still use a craft system. So if one of your packs happens to be, you know, have some, you know, bomb mythic then you can that you need for like your constructed deck, well, you can just waste your pick to take that over, you know, the uncommons and stuff. So
money draft.
Yup.
Yeah, I'm not playing it if I can't get my money. Or at least have the thought that I can get my money out of it.
Oh no, if it's that model, there's no way.
So, but if it's going to kill your price, like, is that any different? Like, so if you said you're okay with, like, your cards not being worth anything.
Mm-hmm.
So what if your, is that, how is that different if your cards aren't worth anything?
I'm okay with losing the investment. I'm okay with the $500 I put in over the last couple of years becoming zero. I'm not okay pumping $50 a month into something to get zero.
I don't see how it's different. Also, the neat thing about...
how is it different? One of them, look at it as an investment. One of them had a potential return. There was the potential to get something back. The fact that it went poorly and you got nothing back doesn't really matter. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The other has zero potential. Just hand me your $50 and I'll tell you you're great at Magic. It'll be wonderful. For me.
Yeah, I don't know. Hopefully...
Don't make the game more complicated than it needs to be. I'm not crafting cards. I'm not doing all that crap. And I think there are a lot more people like me in their 30s that, you know, if I wanted to play Hearthstone, I'd play Hearthstone. That's not how this game
works. But it's not
Hearthstone. But they're two different games, though, and that's the thing. Like, if you gave me the Hearthstone...
I don't want to use the Hearthstone client. I don't want to craft things. I'm not a five-year-old kid. I don't want to disenchant my cards and make new cards.
That's fair. But I would also think that the loss of people like you is made up for the gain of a more reliable client and a
like,
easier client.
I don't use Modo at all. But if they went to a Hearthstone kind of thing, I might be more interested because I can.
So you're saying if it were free, you would be interested?
Yeah, if I can
It's not going to be free.
No, there's always microtransactions.
Yeah, but like. And, like, I've spent money on Hearthstone, and I was fine with that. And so I don't mind spending some money. I just don't want to, spending, like, $100, $200 on a deck on Modo on the front end seems less, like, appealing to me than spending, like, $20 and getting, like, a bunch of cards in Hearthstone. Like the microtransaction, like, is actually more attractive to me than it is, like, spending $200 or $300 up front and then... And then you get to play your deck however often you want. But
yeah. But
if I can spend like $30-$40, get some cards, get like a somewhat decent deck, and then use that to like keep building up, playing semi casually. If they are able to do something like I don't know, like see Hearthstone has the quest system, which like helps it seem
more manageable.
More manageable because you just get free gold just by logging on and
Eternal does the same thing.
So like I mean I imagine they would do something like that, but I don't know how they would do it.
Yeah,
because it'd be a lot harder to do because like you have different classes, so you can like say you have to win so many games with this class or you have to play this many class cards.
So Eternal has quests, but they don't have like character classes like Hearthstone. And they just do it by color. So it's like, get so many wins with this color deck, or deal so much damage with this color creature.
But like, is that game like more specifically, monocolored?
No. Like, you can play multicolored decks.
Alright. Because I was like, Magic's like, generally like, two or three colors for the most part. So it'd be hard to be like, we'll play a white deck.
Yeah.
For it to count. But.
Yep. Okay. But I assume that you could do this in, like, any format. So it's like, play your white deck. Well, time to boot up Death and Taxes.
Yeah.
They even have quests for, like, playing basically lands of that color. So it's like, play so many forests. Play so many, like, put into play so many forests, and that's a quest.
Okay.
So it's pretty easy. And the neat thing is that it feels like it keeps track of your constructed decks. So, for example, I have like a white, blue, and a red, green deck. And it only gives me quests for those four colors. So I don't have to worry about, oh, hey, go play like the blue, black deck and deal damage with black creatures. I don't have those. So. But yeah, hopefully we hear more about Digital Next or Moto Next. Hopefully in a couple months, I'd expect either one of the Pro Tours will hear more about it and get all this cleared up. But in the meantime, we had a standard open with a brand new standard this past weekend. Did any of you guys happen to watch it? Any bits of it?
I did.
I turned it on once.
Yeah? What did you see, Joe?
Somebody wearing a Donald Trump shirt.
Huh.
That's about awesome. Then I turned it off.
Okay.
I think it was round one or two. So
interesting.
Yeah, and then there was a big Twitter kerfuffle about it.
Oh, so. Twitter.
Twitter gets mad about everything.
Twitter does get mad about everything. I feel it's sometimes even worse than Reddit. But anyway. So yeah, I watched quite a bit of the Open, and oh my god, the Saheeli decks, they're real, by the way. It's a real thing.
I did not expect them to be like that good.
No, neither did I. They basically came in two flavors. You had like just pure Jeskai, or what I would like to call four color nonsense.
Dude, I love four color nonsense.
Those decks were sweet, I'm not gonna lie. If I was going to play a copycat deck, it would be the four color Saheeli. Because you just get so much value. Because the whole point, for anyone who didn't watch, is like you make Felidar Guardian and Saheeli actual cards. So you just put a bunch of creatures that have really good ETBs in your deck. So that way you can just blink them indiscriminately almost. I watched one guy like blink his Cloud Blazer like three times in a match.
Yeah, it's sweet. I'm really interested in it. I'm thinking about playing in PPTQ this weekend.
Yeah,
IQ both standard. I'm thinking about playing that full color deck because it's silly. Like, and there was a lot of different like builds to it that I saw that all top aided. Like one seemed more like Planeswalker heavy and played like Oath of Jace and Oath of Chandra, and then some played like this like creatures like Cloud Blazer and some other weird ones. Like I was like, this is, I can get behind that.
Yeah, it looked really good. But I'm actually not going to be playing that deck. We'll get to mine later, but I will say that it definitely proposes the Splinter Twin problem in that it requires a lot of different interaction that really, like, anytime you build a deck in this format, this deck is going to be in, like, the back of your mind. Like,
yeah,
how am I going to be interacting with this nonsense? Because if you don't, you're just dead.
It also does something, like, interesting, like, that Splinter Twin did, where it, like, opened up, like, which is one thing, one reason I had beef with the ban was that it, like, was because it banned it because there wasn't a lot of, like, there wasn't much diversity, but like there was a lot of diversity in how it was built. Sure. Like, it would just have the same like eight cards, but the rest of the deck would be like completely different.
Right. There are totally like different flavors of twin decks. Yeah. And there are definitely different flavors of Saheeli decks.
I don't think that's bad for the format.
No, not necessarily.
As long as like the format's not just those Saheeli decks, which they clearly aren't. And I don't think like, I don't think it's the best deck at all.
No, so it did put three copies into the top eight, but none of them survived quarterfinals.
Yeah.
Which I feel is really good, because I enjoy having combos in standard, and I'd really hate for in like 5 weeks, or 6 weeks now, in 6 weeks for this to get just banned out.
Yeah.
So I want to keep standard bans to a minimum. And it feels like this is right where it needs to be. But the other thing I noticed was that So Control is back. If you like playing Control decks, man, do I have a standard format for you.
I don't know, man. I don't know if those are going to be, if those will survive.
I think they can only get better, right? So for week one of a new format, they came out fairly strong, right? Like normally for a Control deck to really take hold, you have to have a pretty good picture of the metagame so you can tailor what your answers are. And now I like it's week one, so the Control players really don't know. They sort of have to guess what threats they're going to be up against. But I would say within, we get the results from the Open next week, and then we go straight into the Pro Tour. So over the next 2 weeks, like the metagame is going to really shake out, and these Gear Hulk Control decks are going to, you know, really get their stride. They're going to know what threats they need to deal with, you know, what threats they need to run themselves to be competitive. Because, man, Torrential Gear Hulk, that's a card.
It is a card. But on the other hand, like, those decks, like, there were Control decks that popped up early in Standard in the previous format, too, but eventually just kind of, like, fell to the wayside.
Yeah.
And the problem is, like those decks looked like they were struggling when they were on camera, like, the whole time. The only reason they did okay was because they had, like...
Gear Hulk and Glimmer of Genius?
Well, no, they just had a good pilot. Like, the good pilot was able to, like, keep it afloat, I guess. But it looked like it was struggling for most of the time on camera.
Yeah, the threat diversity that the Control decks were facing this week was pretty wide, right? And a lot of the, like, aggressive mid-rangey decks were able to capitalize on this. So they were presenting threats that some of the Control decks weren't just able to, like, deal with. They're like the blue red Control deck, like with Dynavolt Tower, just like can't handle Planeswalkers. So, you know, you're getting to watch some guy like just be like turn 3 Nissa, turn 4 Gideon, and just go, are you gonna concede because you can't kill these things? Like, there's just too much value. But I really do think that over the course of the format, like between now and the next set, between Amonkhet, the Control decks are really gonna make a name for themselves. So, but what made me really happy was seeing all of the green-black decks rise to the top. I found them hilarious, just like how mid-rangey yet synergistic they all were.
Yeah, when you look at that list, you're like, how
does this work?
How did that do that? Like,
yeah.
They were sweet. Man, some walking ballistas, man. Whew. Did you see the price spike on that card?
When did they spike? I hope it wasn't today. Or, like, earlier today.
I mean, it was, like, yesterday. They were, like, $18.
Oh, yeah.
When I looked at it, like, earlier, like, they were, like, $4. And I was like...
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I bought, like... I have about half of the green-black deck, so I just bought the other half. Like, I'm playing that deck. I can't wait. I'm going to be casting ballistas. It's going to be sweet. I get a burn spell in green-black. Ah. But, definitely... their ability to like pressure the opponent while presenting some interaction definitely gives them the leg up. And I really think that is going to be the formula for success in this format. Like being able to disrupt what your opponent's doing just a little bit, or you know, depending on how much interaction you want. And definitely you need to have a clock on these guys.
Yeah.
So...
I kind of want to play some of these Control decks, but I don't know. I'm still torn on what I want to play for the play this weekend. I'll have to decide on something eventually.
Yeah. My cards are in the mail, so hopefully they get here in time. I'd like to play. I've been itching to get into a real tournament since the GP, so hopefully my cards will come in. Yeah. My cards will come in before FNM, so I can at least get some reps in on the deck before then.
If you want to play test, let me know.
Yeah, definitely. I'm just hoping that all of the TCG vendors that I bought from are expedient in their processing.
I actually ordered stuff for Ban Eldrazi, and I got it within like 3 days. I was like, pretty impressed with how quickly I got stuff.
Yeah, I was using TCG Player Direct, so normally, like, if I order on a Monday, it'll be here by Friday, kind of deal.
I got ordered. I definitely got it on, I remember when I ordered it. It was like Monday night, maybe Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
And I ended up getting it like Friday or something like that. It had like 6 to 8 days shipping.
Get there
tomorrow.
And
like they were all in with like 3 days. I was like, all right, I'm in.
Yeah. So did you look at the results for the Modern Classic?
I saw an ad nauseum one.
Yeah, it did. Knows about it. So this top 16 is just silliness, man. So ad nauseum beats like Abzan Cord in the finals. Grischelbrand and Affinity lose in the semis.
Yeah.
Jund, Grixis Delver, and two copies of Banned Eldrazi all duck out in the quarterfinals. And then near and dear to my heart, it made me very happy to see this, in ninth place is just straight up like draw go Esper control.
Yeah, I saw that deck. I was like, what is the Esper charm? What?
Oh yeah. Esper charms, drawing cards on your end step. Think twices, yeah. Drawing cards on your end step. Two Sphinxes, Rev, because why not?
Because that card's... Did it play two? I thought it played three.
No, it played three Verdicts and two Revs on top of the only creatures in the deck were four Snapcaster Mages. The win condition, they moved away from the White Sun Zenith towards Secure the Wastes. So, yeah, that deck looks hilarious. Has four Fatal Pushes and four Paths.
So you kill everything.
Yeah, you just murder everything. I'm a big fan of them playing Logic Knots. I love that card. It's a personal favorite of mine.
It's cute.
It's really good, man. Like,
it's cute. I'll give it that.
Because, so you can still pay mana for the X, right? So yeah. You can have a really bad cancel, like, on turn three. But if you've done anything, like, you are just playing Counterspell most of the time.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
It's great. Especially, it's like, if you're just ripping through with, like, Esper Charms and Think Twices. Yeah. Like, your graveyard's going to be packed.
Yeah, especially since you're not playing stuff like... Also, something I'm actually interested in is how often they use Esper Charms to, like, make them discard cards. That actually seems like a decent mode.
Oh, no, it's very good. So, I would use it in matchups like Burn, or just, like, take resources away from you. Like, in your draw step, charm you.
It's like, turn four... Turn four, Esper Charm, like, make you discard two at the end of your turn. Untap, snap, Esper Charm you again. Seems really gross.
Yeah. Not a whole lot too many decks can do about that. Especially, like, I think we were talking about this earlier. Like, he doesn't, the pilot of this, Ryan Hovis, doesn't need to run, like, worry about dispels or other things like that. Because he's the only blue deck in the whole top 16. As long as, well, counting ad nauseum. Or not,
you have,
not
you have the ban Eldrazi's, but I don't think they didn't run very many counter spells.
Yeah, like, this is.
I think one list played Stubborn Owl. I actually want to, since I'm thinking about playing ban Eldrazi, I want to bring you to this interesting sideboard that I saw.
Okay.
That I want your opinion on.
I'm listening.
The eighth place one for ban Eldrazi for the Classic. Played two Elspeth, Sun's Champion, on the sideboard. I'm like, what is for? Tell me more.
It's for winning.
It's for, you know, those Jund and Abzan matchups that you're just horrible against. Why not, just after you reality smash them, just cast Elspeth and be like, what are you going to do?
Yeah. I guess, like, it's good in, like, the mirror match or something, where you can just, like, play it in Neg 3 and, like, destroy, like,
oh, that is true.
A Smasher and a Thoughtseize here.
No, that is really good. Yeah, those are. I forgot that that card is just really good in against Bant.
You can play it because it plays Sky Spawners, and did it play? And it plays Drowners, so you can cast it like pretty easily.
Yeah, I mean you're running
The Scions.
Right, but even then, like you're still running 24 lands and four Hierarchs on top of all that. So yeah, you have all the mana you could ever want.
Yeah. I don't know if it's good for my list, though. I only run 22 lands.
Ooh.
I'm a big fan of the Displacers. Displacers and Mattery Shapers. That seems to be, like, that flex spot.
Yeah,
how many Chalice do you play?
None of the list play anymore.
You should play Chalice. It's the best.
I don't know if Chalice is going to be good when everybody's up at their mana curve to not die to Fatal Push.
It stops Fatal Push?
It does stop Fatal Push.
I mean, it does, but it doesn't stop at Espertron. It's a caster for six. But...
you can do that.
That's something I can do. The flexibility of Chalice of the Void. It's really good. I can cast it for 12 and make sure they don't cast an Elspeth Sun Champion on me.
I like the way you think, Chris.
Me too.
So did they have a standard classic as well as this open?
They did. Mm-hmm. And I will, from what I remember, it essentially mirrored the standard open. There's a ton, bunch of like Saheeli decks, but Green Black just sort of said, look at our ballistas and how well they interact with you on every axis.
Let me talk to you about some Blue White Spirits.
Oh, that deck.
That's something near and dear to my heart. I Is love it now? Brian Feria for bringing up Blue White Spirits.
Yeah, just pure spirits.
Doesn't have Ogitize Command though, so I'm less interested. A card.
The deal breaker.
Yeah, when you bring back Rattle Chains or a Selfless Spirit or a Wanderer to like blow out a player, there's nothing better. You never look back.
So you're saying that your only problem with the deck is that they're playing a card that's illegal in standard.
Well, they're not playing it.
Right, they're not playing a non-standard legal card, is what I'm
I mean,
hearing.
People cheat all the time. I mean, if you're going to cheat, at least make it up for Ogitize Command. That's all I'm saying.
Wait. So, and then all of the cards you want to cheat in standard with, you choose Ogitize Command?
Yeah. Nobody's going to be that mad about it.
I disagree.
I mean, at least, like, I feel like I would earn some respect for not using, like, Jid or something like that. They're like, oh, well, he's using Ogitize Command. That's something, I guess. We won't, like...
That's not going to get you to DQ, right?
Yeah, well, they may DQ me, but they won't, like, ban my DCI number or anything like that.
Oh, you'll get DQ'd.
I'll call
Keeler.
Oh,
I thought we were friends, Joe.
We are. That's why I called Keeler.
I think you have a weird understanding of what friends mean.
I would love to see Keeler DQ you from a tournament. That would make my heart happy.
You know what? That, yeah. I'd pay money to see that.
I'm glad it's not just me.
I'm glad I'm on the B team with you guys.
Sorry, Chris.
But yeah, I'm really excited to see both how modern and standard start to shake out. I'm really looking forward to the Pro Tour. How about you guys?
Oh, I'm interested to see what's
the team portion of the Pro Tour.
Yeah? Yeah, there have been quite a few team announcements in the past couple of days. So I think the team registration was cut off about 10 days ago on the 13th. And so they've been slowly making their announcements. I think the two biggest ones announced so far, the ones that I'm most excited about, are the two Channel Fireball teams that have been announced so far. We have Team Channel Fireball Ice, which is that the PV? Is that PV's team? Yeah. So let me read off this roster. Captain of Channel Fireball. Team Channel Fireball Ice. Their captain is Paolo Vitor Dama de Rosa. Ifro is also included. Joel Larson, Mike Segrist, Ben Stark, Andre Strotsky, and that's all of them. So yeah, this is probably of all of the teams, this is the strongest one of them.
That's the Miami Heat of Magic teams.
Yeah. There's also Channel Fireball Team Fire. This one is captained by Pat Cox. Raptor is also on the team, along with Martin Yuza, Paul Cheon, Matt Nass, and Corey Burkhart. So I expect really strong things from both Channel Fireball teams. Both have really strong players, although I'm really expecting a whole lot more out of the Ice team than the Fire one. Just a little bit more higher caliber on average. A few more Hall of Famers, you know. However, there is...
Yeah, we're missing a lot of people.
Yeah, there's a lot of the Channel Fireball crew that is missing. More specifically, the Team Pantheon has yet to release or to announce their lineup. I think it's because John Finkel, Kai Buda, and Owen Turtenwald are currently battling out to the death to see who will become captain.
I think you just take Finkel. Buda hadn't been showing up to a lot of events. So.
Yeah, I can just
maybe,
see, like...
Maybe you make LSV your honorary captain.
Yeah. But yeah,
LSV should just be captain of every team.
Captain of America.
He's the captain of America of my heart.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about Donald Trump today.
Thank you. Thank you, Joseph.
You're welcome. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm really sad that Pantheon hasn't announced yet, because that should be what? Finkel, Turtenwald, Jensen, Reed Kai? Duke. Kai, if he's...
No, Kai don't plan a lot of events anymore.
Yeah, he has to... if you're going to be part of the team, you'd have to be playing regularly, right?
You would really want him to, yeah.
Yeah. Can't have no slack in this format.
Yeah, Pantheon, no slack.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, like those are just the like four members of the I cannot wait for Pantheon to announce. There's also Team Mass Drop East West, which they basically took the giant amalgam that was Team East West Bowl and split it down the middle. So you have Team Mass Drop East and Team Mass Drop West, each with their respective coasts. There's also Team Top Level. This one is captained by, I think it's Ralph Levy.
He's pretty good.
Yeah. This also has Patrick Chapin, Dan Lanthier, Brian Branduinit, and Craig Lesko. Brian Branduin.
Brian Branduinit?
Yeah, that's his Twitter name.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
What are you talking about?
Wait, you don't follow him on Twitter?
I'm very bad at Twitter. I try. I swear I try.
We need to talk
about. I'm just not a millennial, Chris. I'm not. I try though.
Yeah.
I tweet at people occasionally.
Also has Craig Wesko, can't talk, and Mike Cron, rounding out Team Top Level. I think those are my number twos right now because Pantheon hasn't announced yet.
Wait, they're number two to Pantheon, or they're just your number twos?
Like, that's my second pick.
Who's your first?
Right now, it's Ice.
Okay.
And again, only because Pantheon hasn't announced yet. I'm sure once they do, it'll be like, they're the first pick. Ice is number two. Top Level is a strong third. Like, Ice and Top Level, I feel, kind of revolve around one another. Probably Ice gets the edge a little bit.
Yeah.
There's also Team Card Hoarder.
So they're kind of like the B team.
Yes. Your words, not mine.
I mean, they're not bad compared to most people.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say.
They're
actually very good. They're in the top 10% of Magic players. However, only the top 10% go to the Pro Tour. Less than that. And you know, I mean, it's not bad to be the worst in an elite group.
You're trying to say someone has to be...
Somebody has to be the worst team.
Someone has to be the worst of the Pro Tour.
Somebody has to be the poorest billionaire. You still wouldn't mind being a billionaire. You're just the poorest billionaire. So, it's kind of the same thing.
All right. I can respect that.
I mean, if they invited me to their team, I would join. If you got spot.
That's fair.
You got Alan now.
We do have Alan.
Unstoppable. A man who doesn't know if his DCI number's active.
It's not. Up.
How could it not be active? I meant to ask that.
I don't know. That may not be his number. But I plugged it in the Planeswalker Point website and it just came up as not active. So, I don't know. Maybe he has to register it.
That's weird. How does he play? You know what? I'm not going to get into this.
Yeah.
So, the players on Team Card Hoarder are Noah Walker, Andrew Tenjum, Jacob Ball, Joe Lissette, Robert Graves, and Zachary Keeney?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, something close to that. This is essentially a lot of the SCG grinders. So yes. again, like you said, they're very good at Magic. But
they are better than I am.
Oh, they are much better than any one of us on this podcast or on the B team, for that matter.
Wait a minute.
Yes. Wait a minute. What?
All right. Yeah.
Which of these players have you beat? Hmm?
One time I beat
Tom. I beat Tom Ross.
Well, gentlemen, I hate to inform you all, but Mr. Ross is not on the Pro Tour. So,
are you sure about that?
I'm almost positive he's not on.
Yeah, I don't even think he bothers. He just makes his money off SCG and doesn't worry too much about it.
I think he's been before.
Oh, no, he has played on the Pro Tour. He's just not a Pro Tour regular. He's not at every single one. But he definitely played. He was there when he was, he tested with Team Pantheon for the modern Pro Tour before Eldrazi happened.
Yeah, it was
when they all switched over to Infect.
Yeah, it was the Infect Pro Tour.
Yeah.
Oh, they like hired him on?
More or less, like, he got onto the Pro Tour and Pantheon picked him up. And then all of a sudden, Finkel and Turtenwald are just like, Infect's the best deck in the world. Nothing can beat it. And they just proceed to just destroy everyone.
Yeah, Finkel got 15th in the Pro Tour or something.
Yeah, yeah, he had a really deep run.
So,
yeah, I'm really hoping as we get into the week leading up to the Pro Tour next week, they actually formally announce all of the teams that have signed up. Because I am super interested in tracking this stuff. I don't know about you guys, but like professional Magic is like my sports. So like I love keeping up with this kind of stuff.
Yeah. I don't keep up with sports either though. So
sports are my sports.
Fair enough.
I feel ya.
So I'm just looking here.
Yeah.
I'm looking at, sorry, I reverted back. Never mind. Just cut this out. Or leave it. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Yeah, I was about to go way off topic. Aren't you glad I caught myself?
I am. And just for that, we're going to leave this segment in here as a warning to future Joe about staying on topic.
Yes, I will try harder.
So, what Magic have you guys played since the last time we all spoke?
Been freaking dredging, boys!
Oh, Lord.
Oh.
In what format? I need to clarify.
Legacy, baby!
Okay, alright.
Well, yeah. You know, in Louisville, we hung out with Aaron Campbell.
Uh-huh.
I thought, she's cool. I'll try Dredge. Dredge is the best. Oh my gosh. So, I had Dredge built in paper before I sold my collection out. And I didn't really like Dredge. But I didn't get a lot of reps in with the deck either. Okay?
Right.
I've played... Let me look here. I've played about 76 games with Dredge in the last week and a half, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Win percentage is about 60% in the last 50 games. It took about 25 games to figure out what I was trying to do.
Right, right.
Yeah, it is. It can be the grindiest deck if they don't have an answer. Bring back Ikrit. Bring back Prized Amalgam. We're doing it. Just, okay, sack them off to Cabal Therapy. Oh, I got some tokens. Hope you can kill those. Like, oh my gosh, if they don't have answers. It just, you can grind them out, or, you know, turn one, careful study, throw some dredgers in the yard, turn two, play the Colosseum, faithless looting off the one, careful study off the other, dredge for 6, 12, 24 cards, go, untap, more. Yeah, no, second turn dredging 18 to 24 cards is not uncommon.
That's gross.
And that's only on the turn. Because you've already dredged probably 5 or 6. So you dredge 30-ish cards on turn 2. And God forbid you have a breakthrough. Then you dredge yourself to like 4 cards. But, yeah. No, you just get people conceding to you. But I've been posting some of the stuff. I've sent you all some. I've put some on our Facebook.
Yeah.
I put one on our Facebook where my opponent was playing, I call it 2-card Monty. That's what I call the deck. It's not exactly Painter Servant.
Oh, like right.
He has a lot of 2-card combos in there.
Sure.
In Vintage, it's called 2-card Monty. Any of these 2 cards he matches up, he can make an infinite combo and win.
Right.
Anyway, so on his turn, he cast Painter Servant named Blue. I was like, well, that's interesting. draw step, dredge, breakthrough, dredge, 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 put some Narcomoebas in play, flashback Iona.
Hey!
He saw it coming and started typing in the chat. He's like, oh my gosh, did not even see that. Good game.
At least he wasn't salty about it. Thank you, nice Moto opponent. Thank you.
Yeah, he was very nice. We were talking back and forth because I didn't understand how one of his combos worked in game one.
Sure.
And I was like, if you just tell me what the infinite loop is, I will concede. And he explained what it was, and I was like, yep, that's an infinite loop. You win.
We're done here.
Otherwise, he would have probably, yeah. It was bad. But, oh my gosh. So, playing Dredge, when you first turn Gemstone Mine, second turn Cabal Therapy. Or sorry, first turn Gemstone Mine, Cabal Therapy. Yeah. Second turn, go to town with your Dredgers. Like, I thought Cabal Therapy was only supposed to be cast out of the graveyard in the old days, but no, it is a legitimate first turn play, Deathrite Shaman.
Yeah, that's gross, man.
And I've learned, I'm not even afraid of Deathrite Shaman, number one.
Mm-hmm.
You can easily win through a Deathrite Shaman. Two Deathrite Shamans, much harder to win through. But you can win through one. You can just run one over.
Yeah.
I think I posted a picture of that on Facebook. He played a turn one Deathrite Shaman and ate like four or five cards, but I dredged my whole deck, so it didn't matter.
Yeah. Not much matters when you dump, 50-ish cards and straight into your graveyard.
Yeah, it does. But what this has taught me is I love putting Iona in play and naming a color, and maybe I should just keep playing Animator.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Because you're like, oh, turn two Iona. I'm like, turn one Iona. Yes!
So, the feel-goods of Iona just locking people out of the game, I'm like, man, I would really like to have Elishnorn right here.
Exactly.
But I don't. Exactly. I played against the elves. The elves ran me over. But I was like, if I had Elishnorn and not Iona, I wouldn't die next turn.
Exactly.
So.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Now I'm just staring at my Legacy deck. You're bringing back so many fond memories, Joe.
I've been in some kind of weird loving relationship with Legacy since we got back from the Grand Prix.
Oh, as you should. I've been itching to play. There should be like a monthly Legacy thing going on that I'm definitely going to go to the next time it fires.
Be this weekend.
Is it? I thought the January one already shot.
I thought it was the last weekend of every month.
No, they've been running it at odd times, so you have to keep watch on the Facebook page. So.
You just let me know when to be there, and I will give you about a 20% chance of showing up.
Oh, I know you, buddy. I know.
Yep. But no, that's pretty much all the Magic I've been playing. Yeah.
So no prep for regionals?
I have been. Yeah. We got together last week and tested a new brew, if you will. Not really a brew. It's
more of an update.
An updated, older deck that got a new card, and I don't want to say too much about it. But what were your thoughts on it? We played, what? Chris, you played too. How many games did we play together? 12, 15 games?
Yeah, over the course of the night, we got about, I'd say, 20-ish. All together?
Okay. I had to leave before you all got done, didn't I?
Yeah.
No, well, Chris left the same time I did.
Yeah. So I thought between the three of us, we got like around 20. Maybe I miscounted. Okay. I don't know.
Yeah, that's about right.
But So you
there
don't...
were times...
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
There were times with that deck where I thought, this is unbeatable. Ha ha ha.
Right.
And there were times I thought, this is dumb.
Yeah, that... Like, without mentioning the deck, that's how it plays from days of old.
Yeah, it didn't get more consistent. It just got more blowout potential.
Yeah.
Like, consistency still not there. But I can blow you out and kill you on turn two now.
Yep, that's the thing.
Pretty easily. Like, if you fetch Shock, you're dead. Fetch Shock, Sierra Visions, oh, good game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, whew, the blowout potential is real. The consistency is not.
Yeah. But. It's a little rough. It's a little rough.
Yeah. I've been waiting patiently until the Moto update so I can get those cards and put them into my build on Moto of that deck.
Right.
And just grind out a bunch of games because I'm either going to play that or burn at regionals. So.
Yeah, I think I'm going to head back towards Ad Nauseam.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a deck that I know very well. I already have the cards for it, so I don't have to, like, go scrounging around or like, you know, going to Spare Deck to get my stuff. Because I was thinking about between either Ad Nauseam or Burn. I think Burn is a better meta call for, like, if you want to be aggressive. But Ad Nauseam just kills people. So they can't, it's much harder to interact with.
Yeah, it is. It does just kill people.
Yep. Untap for some big card. You're dead now. Thanks for playing.
Yeah. I've been on the receiving end of that. So,
Chris, what do you think about playing for regionals?
I'm thinking about Ban Eldrazi.
Yeah?
Maybe Tron. I don't know.
I think Tron's a better choice.
I do too.
But man.
You get to play the bigger Eldrazi in it.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
Still Eldrazi.
But I had everything already for Ban Eldrazi, so it's like, woo, man.
Yeah, you might want to play that one then.
Oh, yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
Not spending hundreds of extra dollars to go to a regional tournament seems pretty good.
In the suburbs of Atlanta.
Yeah. I mean, whatever. I just play Ban Eldrazi, Chris. Oh my gosh, has anybody seen the price of Noble Hierarch?
No. What's it at now?
I know it keeps going up.
Let me look it up. The buy list on Channel Fireball is 40.
Oh my god.
So TCG player, Noble Hierarch. Yep. Hang on, it's loading. $67.50.
For the mid price?
That's near mint. The mid price, let me find mid for you. Market buy list, the median price is $63.03.
Oh my god.
But the cheapest near mint one's $67.
Wow.
What? I have them on Star City. You can get them, the ones from Conflux for $65, and then you can get the Modern Masters one for $55.
Nobody wants Modern Masters.
I do. At that price point, I want Modern Masters.
Yeah, save me $40. Yes, please.
Oh no. Y'all need to learn that money's just... y'all need to hang out with Jerry more. Just start buying white border dual lands.
No, no.
It'll be fine.
Joe, I'll tell Lindsay.
I said you, not me.
I'll tell her anyway. She'll put an end to that.
Yeah. Put an end to me.
Well, then I get your magic cards.
And we won't be tempted anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah. Some lots
of problems.
I get you a great deal, guys.
I'm sure you will.
Anyway. No, I just thought of that. But yeah, Noble Hierarch is in Ban Eldrazi. That's how this started.
It's related. It's fair.
It is. It's related. Yeah. That's all the magic I've been playing, guys.
Yeah.
I haven't played much either.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to getting into Standard now that things have sort of established themselves. So
they at least seem to... I don't even think the format's, like, close to being solved.
Oh, no. No. Not even close. So, but just to sort of have, like, a basis, you know? It's very hard for me to, like, brew decks or tune decks in a void, in a vacuum. And so, it being, you know, week two of the format, I just feel so much better knowing, like, you know, the baseline for what people are trying to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to try something this weekend. I don't know what yet. It'll be spicy. That's for sure.
Oh, I look forward to it. I look forward to you playing your Saheeli and then me casting a Ballista and saying, what are you going to do? That's what I look forward to. The card is insane.
Guys?
Yes, sir.
I'm in love.
What are you in love with?
Somebody just sent me a image of a foiled out Death and Taxes deck. If it can be a promo, it is. The Mother of Ruins or Legacy, Aether Vials or Masterpiece. The Swords to Plowshares or the Beta Art Foils.
Joe. Joe, listen to the sound of my voice, Joe.
Okay, my heart's beating out of my chest. Wastelands or the Tempest. It's amazing.
Joe.
The Sarah Avengers.
You've been down this road before.
Yeah, yeah.
It does not lead to good things.
Okay.
Only heartbreak and sadness.
Okay, I'm going to close. Okay.
Just close it. Just let it go. Also, if you love it, let it go, Joe.
It also leads to you just playing Pilcher.
It does.
Which is actually just everything, really.
Yeah. Just leads
back to that.
I hate you all.
You only hate us because it's true, Joe.
I'm crying over here. Again, sorry, I got us off topic. Hey, do you want to move on to the magic new, the non-magic news?
Sure. What?
Yeah, so there's a new Star Wars movie. It's the last Star Wars movie.
It's not the last Star Wars movie.
It is. It's called The Last Jedi. It's the last one.
It's Luke not the last one. Last
Jedi, dummy.
They finally gave up on this failing franchise.
This is why we're going to vote you off the B team, Joe.
I'm just kidding. You know I love ball. Star Wars.
You take I it back, Star- Joe.
I do. I love Star Wars. I have
That's right, you do.
The utmost respect for Captain Kirk. Sorry, I'm just kidding. I know Captain Kirk's in Battlestar Galactica.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Anyway, it's pretty exciting. Episode 8 is going to come out. It's a Disney movie, so you can take the whole family.
We are living in a golden age of Star Wars. That's all I'm going to say. This is what I tell my students at school. Like, when they get excited about a Star Wars movie coming out, just like you, or when they like, I get super excited anytime, you know, the announcement comes out. They're like, Mangone, why are you so excited about this? And I'm like, you don't understand. At one point in my life, I thought there were going to be no more Star Wars movies. And the ones we were left with, half of them were really bad.
The first half or the second half?
Episodes 1 through 3.
Well, I loved episode 1.
You would.
Misa love episode 1.
You so racist.
Well, no, I just like Jar Jar Binks. He's my the best.
Point stands? Question mark.
What are you talking about? How's that racist? He's a different race than me, and I love him.
Okay, sure thing, buddy. You know, I'm gonna let that one go. This is a family rated podcast. I'm gonna let that one go.
Okay, I don't know what you're letting go.
I'll tell you later.
Yeah, I don't. I didn't think it was racist because I really do like Jar Jar Binks. He was kind of like the comic relief of my childhood.
Yeah, but wasn't there a point where you just got older and you're just like, no.
No, I never watched the movies again. So I just have these fond memories.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't rewatch things and ruin them. I just remember them and how they were good. Like, I'm not going to keep commenting on this because it was about to go down the dark road.
Again, this is a family-rated podcast.
Yeah. Anyway, just I'm going to shut up now. You all just finish this thing without me.
Well, unless, Chris, do you have any more non-magic news to share?
I can't. You're having fun right now.
I understand. It's taking everything, all the willpower I have to just hold back. So,
I don't even want to see Joe again. You don't understand.
Just the
well, we'll not be able tomorrow, so don't worry about that.
That's good.
Oh, you guys do have to face each other at work. That's awkward.
After
this?
Sometime within the next week or so, he'll be in a different building, so it won't matter.
Oh.
It's a good thing. It's a good different building.
Okay, yeah. Alright.
It's where all the dreams come true.
Well, I'm glad you're moving up in the world, Chris. I'm glad you're moving up.
Thank you. Maybe now I'll graduate.
You had...
freaking graduate.
Chris, if you don't graduate, you're getting kicked off the B team.
Wait a minute.
You heard me.
What? Yeah.
Tough love, Chris. Tough love.
Yeah, we should add that to the prerequisites.
Okay. I haven't typed them up yet, so they will definitely be added. There will be an addendum. A secret addendum.
I'll be honest. I think I was getting too good for you guys anyway, so.
All members of the B team must have
you or... You're getting too good for... Oh my gosh.
Really? Really, Chris? You want to go down that road? Really?
I do want to go down that road.
How many pro points do you have, Chris? Huh?
Whatever, man. Whatever.
That's right. You're not too good for us. If anything, we're too good for you.
Mm-hmm. You know, I may not be very good at magic, but I am great at driving us to cities, okay?
Yes, you are, sir.
You're a great trip planner, so.
No, like, that's no joke.
I find all the good restaurants and a crack den.
I was like, so. I'm only slightly kidding. Like, you really do like.
No, really.
I mean,
you don't, listeners. You don't understand the level of detail that Joe goes through for our trips. It is a beautiful thing. There are spreadsheets, waivers.
I never got Chris's waiver back, by the way.
Chris, come on, man.
My waiver.
Yeah, for my car insurance. So
you never gave it to me.
Oh.
Well, that just means you're uninsured anytime you're riding in Joe's car. So Hope you don't go through the windshield. That'd be unfortunate. Anyway.
That took a dark road.
That took a really dark road. We're not trying to kill you, Chris. I promise.
That wasn't very comforting.
It should be.
Well, on that note, I think that about wraps us up, unless anyone else has something to add.
I have one more thing.
Okay, what is it, Joe?
I finally watched every episode of Breaking Bad.
Yeah?
Only, what, 3 or 4 years behind?
What'd you think?
I should have stopped after season 4.
Wait, what?
I should have stopped after season 4. There are 5 seasons.
Right.
Season 4 ended, and I was like, that should be the end of the show. And I didn't watch anything else for a month. And I was like, you know what? I talked to Tommy Dorsey and decided to watch season 5. And the best, like, it's not the same show. It's kind of like, have you ever watched football, like college football? And they play football where they go up the field and down the field and up the field and down the field. And then they go to overtime. And they don't play the same game. They just start at the 25 and they're like, oh, let's try to get a touchdown. Oh, we didn't do it. Kick a field goal. Like, it's a different game. Well, this is the same thing. For 4 seasons, they played football. It was great. And then they went to the 5th season. They're like, let's do something completely different. And you're just like, oh my, I don't like this.
That was like one of the most satisfying ends to a television show I've ever watched.
It was better than the ending of Mad Men. Have you seen the ending of Mad Men?
I have not, but I have heard your description of it. I think I was in the room when you finished the series, and you were not happy.
No, it was. I didn't even know it was the last episode. Like, it's horrible.
It just kind of ceased to be.
You're like, okay, now what? It just stops.
Joe, he found his inner peace.
Oh, I don't care about his inner peace. The best ending to the show, there are 2 shows, best endings ever. The Office, where they nicely tie everything up, and they put a bow on it, and you feel happy, and it's all happy and stuff. And Cheers. You ever seen the ending of Cheers?
No. Well, not like... Yeah, I know what the ending is, yes.
Yeah, sometimes bars just close.
Yep.
That's it. I mean...
Yeah, isn't like the final scene then literally turning the lights off?
And walking out, yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Two great endings.
Same thing with Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, by the way.
I can't tell you if I've seen the last episode of that.
Oh, well.
I don't think so either.
Same thing. Turning lights off. It's classic.
Huh. I'll have to watch it now. Anyway,
and then we can do the Fresh Prince rap on the way up on our trips. You can sing that to the next parking attendant.
Yeah, I don't know how they would feel about that as much.
I would like to think you'd get free parking.
Do what?
I'd like to think you'd get free parking.
You know, yeah, I would serenade them for free parking, but...
That's the optimist.
Guys, it's almost midnight. I gotta go to bed.
Not almost midnight.
By almost midnight, Joe means it's almost 10 o'clock.
Well, that's really late for me. I'm usually
I know, buddy. Like, I know. Alright, well, again, that wraps it up for me. How about you guys?
I'm trying to think of anything else I want to say.
As you're the one who has to leave.
Yeah, Joe, we've been trying to wrap this up, and you're the one talking.
Sorry, guys.
Don't blame us. That's all we're saying.
That's right. We're not the villains here.
Okay.
Well, I guess that does wrap us up for this episode of From the Bench. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, criticisms, you can find us on, you can email us at thebteamweare@gmail.com. You can also find us on Twitter and or Facebook under the same name, The B Team We Are. You are most likely listening to this podcast on MTGcast. In that case, thanks for listening. You can also find us on, we are back on iTunes. We are also on SoundCloud, and we are now on Stitcher. Got the approval email today.
Wow.
So we are all over the place. We're big boys.
Are you going
now.
To upload back episodes?
They have already been uploaded. So okay. I turned the lights back on the SoundCloud account and re-uploaded everything. So everything is current up through episode 16. And this is episode 17, which will go up as soon as it's ready.
So, I thought of one more thing I wanted to say.
What you got, Joe? Sign us off.
Okay. So, lately, I've been doing a lot of thinking because I drive a lot at work some days. Sure. And I've decided that we should bring back the Extra Turns podcast. And in the Extra Turns podcast, there will be a complete new format where basically we just talk about how great Magic used to be. Seriously, like 93, 94, the good old days.
You mean all the Magic that only you out of all the members of the B team have ever played?
Well, I'm not going to record it with you all. I'm going to record it with cool people like John Finkel.
Oh, so I see. You're muscling us out, eh?
Yeah, John, if you're listening to this, please contact me.
We know you are.
Yeah, we know you are. Just email me so we can get this set up.
Wouldn't you want good old Randy Bueller to talk about the good old days?
He's too busy with the Vintage Super League, which is awesome, and they need to ban Paradoxal whatever.
Yeah, they need to restrict Paradoxical outcome. It is a double.
Yeah, it's like 50% of the decks right now.
Yes. The other half is Mentor.
36% Mentor, yeah. Yep.
It's dumb. Well, again, that's all I have for us this week. I hope everyone has a great week. So that about does it for us. As always, I'm Alex Mangone.
I'm Joe.
I'm Chris.
And we're the B Team. Have a good week, guys.